Matthews podcast. Another podcast, Dave. How are you, Dave?
You sounded like a Dalek then.
I know.
Well, I've got a funny story about that, actually.
Yeah?
I ate inside a Dalek on Saturday night.
You didn't eat the insides of a Dalek. You ate inside a Dalek.
There's a very strange restaurant in Cardiff called Steak of the Art.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. Would suggest that anybody goes there. Really good. Good food. Locally produced as well. But it's a bit quirky. And one of the actual tables is inside a Dalek. A massive Dalek. And you sit inside the Dalek.
And you think that's only a little bit quirky?
Yeah. The tables upstairs actually were all like hot. The tables upstairs were like all hot air balloon baskets. With the balloon above it. Only part of the balloon, obviously. But it's a bit quirky. But it was all right.
Yeah, but the food was good.
It was cheap.
You can't expect good food to be cheap, can you?
No, actually. Well, do you know what? Actually, after our last podcast, where we obviously used different, you know, I guess, comedy double acts to sum up what we're trying
to
do.
No, you did.
I did.
You brought up every comedy double act
But that's it, see.
And
I didn't.
Ah,
because we've had some feedback.
So you have some more.
We had some feedback.
Right, I see.
So somebody said we're like George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley. Someone else said more like Riggs and Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. Who else said Butch and Sundance? So yeah, there's lots.
Oh,
maybe we should introduce it all the time with somebody different.
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the Renegades podcast with Butch and Sundance. Bodie and Doyle.
See, I prefer Bodie and Doyle.
Well,
yeah,
I know
Bodie and Doyle.
You're of that age. Of that age where people won't remember who Bodie and Doyle are.
Well, they can look it up. This is the day, the age of the
Google. I'm definitely Bodie. He was cool.
No. You have curlier hair than I do.
I'll fight you for it. Yes, so time for another podcast, Dave. I had an interesting question actually last night. I don't know whether you I'm sure you did pick it up, obviously, from on Tinternet there. I'm just trying to find a bloody question now. That's the trouble.
So
Mr. Sam Tyler, yeah. So basically, to summarise his question, he runs a pizza catering company.
He does.
He has no trouble getting business in on Friday, Saturday and Sunday. And one of his sales missions this year was to pick up business on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Now, his background is all B2C. With marketing from a previous life, and he wanted some help from the Renegades and from the community to see if we had any ideas about how we could drum up more business-to-business events for him, if you like, on those days. Now, he says he has particularly good success in running corporate catering days where he provides and cooks for people's staff, you know, where it's like a feel-good thing where they come in, they provide some food for the staff. And he said he'd like to do a little bit more of that. So could any of the Renegades help him with some marketing tips or how to get out and fill his diary for those early part of the week? So over to you, Dave. I'm just about to leave you to it now. Will you tell him exactly what to do? No, I think it's a great question, actually, and one for us guys that can really help him with this, hopefully, with some of our marketing strategies and some of our business-to-business marketing techniques.
So there's a bunch of... The thing is, this is the kind of conversation you'd like to have Sam in the room with, because you really need to begin by asking loads of questions. You know, I could provide some advice, but that advice could be completely out of context and would have no bearing at all.
Well, the good news is he's coming on the call tonight. So this is one question he wants to go on the call. So he's definitely going to be on the call.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it may be interesting to just come up with some ideas, you know, off the top of our heads.
The first thing for me, right, is the guy, I'm guessing it's a mobile pizza operation. Otherwise,
I'm going to say yes, Dave.
Yeah, so let's assume that it is for now. And if that were the case, and he's busy on Thursday, Friday,
Wednesday,
Saturday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay.
There's so weddings and all that kind of stuff.
So I think the my response to to that would be that we need to drum up business Monday to Thursday. And he said he's had some success with corporate catering days. So clearly, if that's the success for him, then I guess what I would want to do is define what success means, first of all. Is it more profitable? Is it that he enjoys the days? Is it easier for him to do? Personally, my gut would say, why not have something that's recurring? Mm-hmm. So events to me are one-offs, right?
Yeah.
If it's an event, then really, as they're one-off, he's got to keep generating. It's a bit like white goods, isn't it? Once you sell somebody a washing machine, that's it. You're stuffed for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, or unless the thing breaks down.
Yeah.
So why would you want to keep on looking for new customers all the time?
Yeah.
Why not find, create a product or a service that you could sell to a company, say, on a regular basis? So if you could find companies that you could turn up at 12 o'clock and you're going to sell 25 pizzas, if it's a large enough organization, we'll pitch up outside on a Tuesday, and that business knows from here on in Tuesday's pizza day.
Yeah. Well, I think I've got some things that we could probably do quite easy. So what I was going to do is just look at a couple of ideas that could get him started.
Mm-hmm.
So what about, and I'm looking at you as if you're going to do it now.
I had a feeling it was coming my way. Yeah.
So what about make a list of the top 20 companies that you want to work for?
Yep.
Or you want to work with?
Yep.
So look around you, look at the bigger companies that are around on the industrial estates that are surrounding your around in your place of work, companies that you know people who work for, anything that's around you that you think I'd love to work for them, make a list of 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then send them a letter. Now I'm going to give you
let's expand on that.
Okay.
Don't just send them a letter. Send them a little box.
Yeah, I was going to say lumpy mail.
The letter's in the box, but also what's in there is a pizza slicer.
Yeah.
You know those wheels.
Yeah.
And you say to them, this is for when you get your next pizza from us.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the tool to slice it.
We can
come up with a better phrase there, but there should be a slogan to go with it.
Okay, and I'm going to give Sam a tip for getting the right person to send the letter to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you send it for the attention of the managing director, for
mm-hmm.
the attention of so-and-so, it never works, okay? Because
yeah.
it gets through the post, and then you've got the gatekeeper or the bulldog that's just going to open it up and throw it in the bin.
Yeah.
So it's never going to get there. Now, I think what a lot of people do when they're cold calling, they try to win the lottery with a call, okay? So they try and literally, when they speak to the gatekeeper, and it's a good tip for any cold calling, actually, when they ring up and they've got the gatekeeper on, and they always say, can I speak to the managing director, please? For a start, you don't know their name.
Exactly.
And straight away, the gatekeeper goes, this guy's on a sales call.
He's a sales call, yeah.
Yeah? So never do that. First of all, never do that. You know, because you might make 1,000 phone calls and hit the jackpot maybe once. So try and narrow it down. So I always tell everybody that works for me, or when I used to manage sales team before, is to break it down into smaller chunks.
Mm.
So the first phone call is just literally to get the person's name.
Mm.
And that's your task. So that's your win. The win isn't getting the appointment with the person. The
yep.
win is just getting the name.
Yep.
So I used to ring up. I used to do loads of things. I used to ring up and pretend I was in a sixth form doing A-levels or doing in a university doing an MBA or something like that, and say, I'm trying to send a survey out for my thesis, for my, you know, whatever they, what's the thing they do?
Dissertation
at the end, and I have to get so many input. So you have to come up with some sort of elaborate story
yeah.
that this person on the other end of the line is going to say to you, oh yeah, no
problem.
Feel
sorry for you.
Yeah, no problem. It's Dave Dean. He's the managing director.
Yeah.
And that's all you're looking for. So I literally would be there. And so don't then change tack, because the worst thing you can do then is when this person, the bulldog, feels sorry for you, and then you say, oh great, can I speak to Dave then? And they go, well, hang on now, you've just conned me into getting that name.
Yeah.
So literally the first thing is get the person's name. So come up with a plausible story in order to get that person's name.
Yeah.
And simple things like, hi, I wonder if you can help me. I hope you can. I'm trying to send some information through the post for the person responsible for. And hopefully they'll give you, oh, that would be the that will be the chief technical officer. Okay, so what's his name? Oh, I can't give you that out. Okay, can I send him an email? So I always try to break it down in small chunks. So get the person's name, first of all,
yeah.
And then send it directly to them. Another good tip with the Bulldog, by the way, they won't say no more than 3 times. They would be embarrassed. So in other words, if I've rung up and I've rung here and someone said to me, oh yeah, it's Dave Dean you need to speak to. Okay, when I ring up next time, I'm asking, hi, can I speak to Dave, please?
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, who's calling? Oh, it's Steve. Steve who? Steve Matthews. Steve Matthews from where? I guarantee you they won't ask more than 3 questions.
Right.
Because they will be embarrassed. Not only that, they're thinking, hang on, he obviously knows Dave.
Yeah.
He's introduced himself as Steve.
Yeah.
He hasn't given his company name.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is obviously a friend of my manager director. And if I keep going, I'm going to piss him off. I'm going to put him through.
Yeah.
So when you ring up, don't volunteer information, basically.
Yeah.
Hi, can I speak to Dave? Who's calling? Steve.
Mm.
Steve from where? Steve from 4C. What's it regarding? It's about an email. Don't volunteer. Oh, I sent him an email last week and I really need to speak to him and I want to do this, because you're going to go, no, thanks very much, bye.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good tip. But anyway, that's something else. But Sam, I think you should make a list of 20 companies that you really want to deal with. Do a little cold calling campaign where you get the actual person you need to speak to. And I would be saying, you know, if I was going to come in and do a free pizza for all the staff, who would organise that? It might be the, you know, if you're looking at large companies, it might be the PA to the MD. It might be the, you know, the marketing. It might be the HR department. You need to find out who that's going to be and make a list of those names. And then, as Dave says, send them some targeted information, something of low value to you, really, if you like, but it makes you stand out from the crowd. And you said the pizza cutter, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it would be pizza cutter. I mean, Dan Kennedy's got this, he's kind of the king of this sort of stuff, isn't it? And I remember once reading a story about Dan Kennedy sending out 6-foot-long kayak paddles.
That's right, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And the message attached to it was, I've heard you're up shit creek without one of these.
Yeah, perfect.
And
definitely, you know, get someone's attention.
Yeah,
though.
get in touch with me and I can help you out, you know, that kind of attitude. And I think that for me is just, that's a phenomenal one. I mean, Theresa Payne showed us a shock and awe box that she was sent, and all that was in it was a bar of chocolate that had been unwrapped from its original wrapping, and a piece of in-house printed paper was wrapped around it, and it said on there, chocolate is cocoa is a plant is healthy, eat me and you'll be fine, that type of thing, you know.
Yeah.
The real convoluted message, but really good.
Yeah.
And then underneath that was a notebook, very low cost notebook, and it was personalised.
Yeah.
It had Theresa Payne printed on the front. There was a pen in there.
Yeah.
Low cost pen, and underneath all of that was a rain mac.
Yeah.
And inside the pocket of the rain mac was a USB stick.
Mm.
And a piece of string attached to it with a card, you know, like a little tag.
Mm.
And the tag had written on it, play me.
Mm.
And it came from a radio station, and the radio station had said on there, on the USB, they'd created an ad for her as a demonstration.
Mm.
And then said, if you like the ad and you think we can do some business, we might be able to help you, give us a call. The Rain Mac, and I think the Rain Mac had a tag on that that said, to help you for a rainy, when you get a rainy day.
Absolutely.
You know, that type of thing, you're just touching people where they are, if that makes sense.
Well, we've got our own, we've got a couple of our own, I would say, geniuses, but that's not fair really, because I was over-egging them and they would be embarrassed if I said that. But we got some people that, we got our own Dan Kennedy internally really, for like Jay Emery, he's really good at this lumpy mail.
He is.
I'm not going to say too much, but he's just run a campaign, a lumpy mail campaign based around a wish catcher, which is an old Indian thing, isn't it? You know, when I say Indian, I mean
and
cowboys
and
Indians.
And the worry doll.
And the worry doll and the first aid kit, which led on from one thing to another. I'm not going to steal his thunder. I would, Sam, anybody who's listening who wants to know more about that and the success that he had from it with his dream catcher campaign, DM Jay, he will really help you out on that. And then things like Gavin Bradbury, who did the when you give away something of small value to you but it creates a big storm. I mean, he did his £50 steak box, didn't he? On Facebook.
That's right.
Which was I think it was £50 worth of steak. It was a secret box. He didn't show what was in the box. But I think his engagement went up a huge, didn't he have something like 637
I'm
likes
sure
on
what
it?
The numbers were.
Yeah, but it was a crazy amount of likes and it was a crazy amount of interest just for something that was really quite small and simple. But I've got those guys, so again, I would recommend that you DM Gav.
I think the other nice thing that Gav did was every parcel that he sent out, for a little while, every box above a certain value had a free book in it.
Yeah.
And in order to keep the costs down to himself for those books, he just went around lots of discounted bookstores and bought up all the books, all the sort of recipe books, food books, and then gave away some of those books with the orders.
The perceived value was high, but actually the
of course the value to the client is the book value, isn't it?
Yeah.
But the cost to you as a supplier is significantly lower.
Yeah.
In terms of pizzas, it's kind of difficult to say in terms of. You can't send a pizza through the post.
No, absolutely not.
What you could do, perhaps, is send a pizza recipe book.
Yeah.
So if Sam knows anybody or knows of a particular book, perhaps Sam could write the book.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be, you know, Mills and Boone, does it? Oh, Mills and Boone, God, I gave my age up there, didn't I?
Do you?
Mills and Boone romance book.
Fabio.
Don't go there. Why can't Sam come up with a 12-page booklet that?
Dave, I think there's lots of things. If once you get your creative juices flowing, and you know, once we start talking about this thing now, there's loads of things that come into me straight away that I think, well, okay, surely Sam could do something like. If you've got your list of 20 companies that you want to target, deliver some pizzas to them.
Yes.
Just out of the blue. Just turn up one day, with three pizzas, three different toppings, and say, here they are. These are on us. There's a flyer. This is what we do. We'd love to come in and do this for you. But today, these are free. Crack on.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's something you can do there.
If you look at the cost of that, 20 companies, let's say the pizza cost him a fiver. It won't. But
if you did one company a day for a week, you know, or two companies a day for a week, it's 14 companies, okay. Whatever you want, however you want to spend.
20 companies times 15 quid is 300 quid, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a low investment to try and get, you know, if he gets 10% of those on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing for me, to go back to my point earlier, you know, getting companies to engage with you to buy once is the start point, but really what you want is for them to buy on a regular basis. Maybe once a month, maybe twice a month. Maybe he could come up with a series of options. Maybe option one could be the one-off. Maybe option two is sign up for 12 months and I'll come once
Topping
a month.
Topping Tuesday, Dave. Topping Tuesday.
Ooh,
Tuesday toppings. Hashtag Tuesday's toppings. Yeah, but I think, you know, there's loads, isn't it? There's loads of things. And I appreciate where Sam's coming from in the fact of, you know, switching that mindset from business to consumer to business to business sometimes can be a little bit daunting if you haven't done it before.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always business to business, and for me to now flip to business to consumer is a bit of a change of mindset. However, I just think you just need to get creative. And another tip there, you know, our office in Birmingham, or the office in Birmingham, it's a shared office. It's a massive space. It's an iconic building in Birmingham, Fort Dunlop in Birmingham. There's a footfall every day of 2,000 people are going in and out of there. In fact, I think it's a 3,000 a day footfall. And there's a foyer downstairs. which they which they try to attract local. For example, Nando's. We've got Nando's next door. Nando's come in and give away cheap sauces, and they give away, you know, free wings and whatever, just to try and drum up, you know, interest for Nando's. And you have Krispy Kreme come in, you know, the donut place. You know, they sell out when I'm there, obviously, because I'm a fat pig. But then they have lots of people come in with book clubs. Why can't you go in there with your pizzas?
Yeah.
You know, the pizza thing can go outside, but you can drum people up. So there's loads of people coming through. But of course, the people that are interested then are the facilities management people.
Yeah.
Those are the people trying to add value to their tenants. And your ultimate sale is, look, these we're giving away these, which normally cost £10 a pizza, for £3 a pizza today.
Yeah.
But here's a flyer and a
box. Where is Sam based? Do we know?
Not sure, actually. But again, I'm sure you'll have more information. All I wanted to do really today was to come up with some ideas for him.
Yeah.
Some, you know, so look for large, you know, shared office spaces. Bound to be loads, especially in cities or close. I say Fort Dunlop was a good one there. And then what about, you know, form, I say the pizza delivery, that's quite a good one. Try and look at drumming up some, it's all about raising that awareness, isn't it? You know, I mean, I know we had a bit of a fun about the topping, Tuesday toppings and all that kind of stuff, but I see more and more people turn into like Facebook pages and Instagram, because pizzas and toppings, and they look good, don't they?
Coming back to that, that's a. I remember a long, long time ago, there was a restaurant, no, it was a baker's in London. I can't remember the name of it, but this baker was very innovative, and it was early on in their growth. They were young guys, and they decided that they were going to drum up business, and they used Twitter. Now, what they did was they got a little box. I don't know where they got this thing made, right? But box on a wall, and every time a new batch of something was being cooked, just as it was coming out of the oven, they would quickly tweet to the people who were following them, one quick tweet to say, batch of blueberry muffins coming out, ready in 10 minutes.
Making me hungry now, Dave.
I know. Well, it's a very tempting thing. The blueberry muffins. I mean, who can resist a blueberry muffin, Steve? Anyway, they would tweet that out. New batch of blueberry muffins coming out in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then people would get that message. I mean, London being a very populated area, obviously. Then people would get the message, come on down, grab a cup of coffee, pick up a blueberry muffin, and off they go. Now, they would do that throughout the day, and it constantly brought a stream of business in.
Right.
Could there be an alternative, a variation to that for Sam? Where maybe, talk about the Fort Dunlop example that you gave, if there are some industrial estates where he could park up his mobile business, his pizza oven, park it somewhere centrally, and then tweet or Facebook, Messenger, whatever mode of communication he wants to choose, could he then do that to the businesses around? And say, I'm in, I'm parked up, I'm ready, pizzas, discount, 10%, whatever it is, maybe he can start using a discount coupon method where he can issue loyalty cards, stamp them up, people come in, after they've bought five pizzas, they get one free, whatever sort of process he wants to use.
Would I be right in saying, do you think now, I mean, you're an avid reader. Is there anything out there that potentially you could read? But I was just thinking of about, you kind of have to give away something to gain something. You know, you kind of, not all the time, but I'm not saying give away something of massive value.
I think people
something.
Need to experience, especially
experience.
With food.
Yes.
People need to, if you're selling food,
yeah.
people need to experience what you're selling. And and sometimes, you know, just like the wings giveaway by Nando's. Lots of foodie places have little tasters, don't they? You know, people walking around with.
I think that idea about the pizza delivery. You know, I'm just looking around us, you know, on the, you know, out of the window here,
yeah.
and there's probably one, two, three, five, there's probably 8 or 9 businesses within, you know, park somewhere and walking distance. I mean, if you did 20 pizzas,
yeah,
I came into every place with 2.
Well, I can tell you now that the lads downstairs here on a Friday, they buy probably 5 or 6 pizzas just between the lads here, and they go to Domino's. Now I bet you Sam does a better deal than Domino's does.
Oh, I bet he does. Domino's are shite anyway, and let's be fair, we all know that. We all love them, but they're all shite. But no, I just think that, like, especially if it, you know, no one sells it like Sam, I bet. So if he knocked on the door and said, look, I've got some pizzas here for you, you know, and here's a flyer, by the way, this is what we do,
I think our lads would go for it.
Yeah. So I think that would be that's a good part. But hey, this is where he tells us on the call tonight, no, I'm not mobile. I've just got a kitchen.
I just want to bring people to me.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, well.
What the most important thing, and what I wanted to do, I mean, Sam put a great question in there, you know, just to give them some feedback from 2 old men here. Well, 1 old man and 1 nearly old. And from Bodie and Doyle.
I'm just offended.
Yeah, and what about then? So
you don't care,
so,
do you?
No,
you
I don't.
Really just don't
no,
care.
No, I don't care. So what about? So you've done your targeted. So you've got your 20 companies.
Mm-hmm.
You've done your pizza delivery.
Yep.
You've got your flyer, which you would then explain about. You know, I want you to come and we'll do you a deal here for every. You know, Monday we'll come and feed your staff. This is how much it's going to cost you. Hopefully, pick a bit of work there. Then you've got your company barbecues and your company's offsite days and things like that. But I think it's all about raising the profile then for the business, isn't it? So do one site free, get a demo, tell one site will come in and do it for free if we can film it, if we can get some feedback from it, a testimony from you, so we can put that on the website so people can see and get a feed, you know, so people can get a, and I produce a small video like that, Dave, you know and I know.
Yeah.
You can do it on an iPhone, you can do it with iMovie, you can put it all together. I'm very limited technology-wise. Dave's even worse than me, by the way. But you know, we've learned how to piece a simple movie together, haven't we?
We have.
Over a very short period of time.
I'll tell you something else. There's a great, great film. Andy Stace put me onto this the other day, right? There's a film called Chef, which Andy said he watched the other day, and he'd seen it before, but he watched it again. It's quite an inspiring film. It's about a chef. Very top quality chef in a restaurant. He's being reviewed. He's a bit of a technophobe. He gets caught up in a Twitter war with the reviewer and ends up losing his job, and he ends up buying a van, right? Mm. And he gets into street food. But what's interesting about the film for me is that the success that he gets and the end result, and I won't spoil the result for anyone who wants to watch the film.
I thought you were going to give away the end then.
No, I won't do that. But what's really, really good is some of the marketing tips in the film, mm-hmm. where the young lad, his son, who's 10, by the way, turns out to be really cool on social media, and the things that he does to help his dad, but he's just doing it because he's a kid and he just enjoys it. He doesn't really realise the impact of what's going to happen. There's some really good tips in there of pulling together. There's an app he speaks about where you could do 1 second videos. Get that 1 second video, and then you splice them all together. And you get like a minute of video, but a 60 separate pieces of video pin. I don't know what the app is. I can't remember. Yeah. But that's well worth looking at as well. And maybe that could be something that Sam could put together and then send out to those companies that maybe on a USB stick or a you know.
This was lots that of film ways. Again? Chef.
The film was called Chef.
They all die in the end?
No. Bruce Willis comes out and mows them all down. And
sounds great. How are we talking?
When the whole queue is waiting there for their pizzas. No, it's not pizza anyway. So I won't spoil the film because I did enjoy it. And me and Lady Glanville sat down one night to watch the film, and both of us thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, what that did also was, it was on Netflix, we watched it, by the way, and when the film finished, you know, Netflix has this tendency to show, if you like this, then you might like these. Well, it showed something up called Ugly Delicious, right?
If you like this film, Chef, you're going to like Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Yeah, come
Die
on.
Hard 1, 2, 3, and 17. So this documentary, food documentary, came up called Ugly Delicious, right? That, the very first episode of Ugly Delicious is all about pizza.
Right.
And it's all about pizza in the States, and they do this whole documentary talks about, they go around the States and look for what is the best pizza, right? Is it Chicago Town? Is it New York pizza? Is it
starving?
They even went into a Japanese restaurant and tasted the Japanese pizza.
Oh,
and
come
both,
on.
Both became very shocked at the fact
come
that this
on,
is...
Come on, Dave.
Yeah, man.
It's Italian pizza, surely.
No pomodoro red sauce. Red sauce replaced by mayonnaise.
Oh, Dave, come on.
Yeah, look.
We have to stop the podcast right now.
You and I both would, if I had been told that, I would have said the same thing. And on top, the toppings were sushi, right?
Well, I like sushi. Right?
Now, who thinks about going out and buying a sushi pizza with mayonnaise topping, with mayonnaise?
Yeah,
they
probably call it something really cool, like Naguri Naka Raka or something.
Oh,
like
it
that.
Was
yeah.
It was something yeah. very intricate. But the chef, who was very much a pizza aficionado, the guy who's the subject of the documentary, began thinking, this is nuts. I do not want a Japanese pizza. And having tasted it, said, wow.
I don't know anybody else, Dave, that could have gone from giving people or giving Sam advice on how to sell to business has now gone to a Japanese pizza
that's got mayonnaise as a topic.
Right, the point here, Steve, is know your subject, right? And in order to know your subject, not only do you need to know what it is you're delivering and what you're doing, but you also need to understand what the rest of the market is doing. Not because you need to worry about the rest of the market, and I kind of share what other marketing gurus would say, right? You should be building your business without having to worry about your competition.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting you should worry about them, but what I'm suggesting is that you need to understand where the market's going and where other people are going. So if your customer's buying something, you need to understand what it is they're buying, why they're buying it, and whether or not you can produce something that is either as good or better than that. So don't worry about your customers, your competitors per se, but at least understand what they're doing. So it's good to do your research.
Okay, well, I think, to be fair, Sam's got a couple of good ideas here. Definitely, are we agreed? Pick the top 20 people that he
absolutely.
Wants to deal with. Pick
and,
the top 20
and your
people
methodology
he wants to deal with.
Of getting to the right person.
Yeah,
exactly what I used to do.
Yeah.
I come up with all sorts of plot,
crazy
excuses.
Get creative
for
on that one.
Asking for
fun.
The details, and I always rang back with the first name.
And
always.
The thing is, what I will say there, a lot of people say they're scared of cold calling, don't want to do it. I don't cold call. I hate it.
Hmm.
You're not really cold calling because all you're trying to do is get somebody's name.
Yeah.
You're not trying to sell anybody anything. You know, I've got people that work for me who have got a phobia of cold calling.
Hmm.
That's fine. This is one really easy way to break yourself in. And try and get on a run. So in other words, don't just do one, because the worst thing is picking up the phone and making the first phone call.
Yeah.
Make one, then another, then another, and another, and do it for like 15 minutes, then stop.
Mm.
Don't just stop after one call.
Yeah.
Get into a roll. I think the more you get on a roll, and don't forget, you're not selling, you simply want somebody's name that you can send some information to. That'll work quite well. So I mean, the cold calling tips were great. Top 20 companies to work for, as you said. Try and do a free site, get a bit of publicity from it, get a video, get some testimonials, but pick one of those customers that are really interested in what you've got, or show some interest, and try and do some promo on the back of that. Form a partnership, look at some of these shared office spaces, try and get in there, and like the Fort Dunlop, that's a good one. Lumpy mail. Speak to Gav, speak to Jay,
DM them. They'll be on the calls. Ask them loads of questions. They're really good at the lumpy mail. I think it works really well. And finally, myself and Dave, pizza delivery. You can always please fat boys with pizzas. That's the end of, isn't it?
So that's you covered. What about me?
Well, somebody turned up here today now for me and you with two pizzas and said, oh, by the way, guys, I do this.
Would we turn them down?
Nah. They'd be right in you, wouldn't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'd be worried about where my garlic bread is.
Yeah. So pizza delivery. So, Sam, I hope that helps. And thanks, Dave, for today. That was nice, that was. I like that.
Yeah.
A bit different, wasn't it?
It was.
Send your questions in. Stick them on the Facebook group. You know the score. Send us an email and we'll discuss it. Put it on a podcast.
We will. We might not be able to come up with anything good.
No.
But we'll talk about it,
won't
we? We will.
And we'll end up talking about Japanese pizzas with slightly mayonnaise on it.
Exactly.
Mad.
You heard it here first.
Mad. Live it like we're Renegades. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to the Renegades podcast. Being an entrepreneur is a lonely place, and all we want here at Renegades is for you to achieve the success that you want and to live the life that you deserve. Loads more information is available on the website, 729renegades.com. That's 729renegades.com. If you like the podcast, please like it, rate it, share it. Get in touch through the website and see you again next time. And I say, hey, 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 living like we're renegades. Hey, hey, hey.